episode 178 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded April 5th, 2018. The future of superheroes. The future of superheroes.
Did I say that wrong?
No, you did. You got it right.
Oh, good.
I was echoing you and your delivery.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to go in and do any like special effects for this episode. I hope you're okay with that.
I think we need a lot of CGI. It's a superhero episode.
I mean, I do the most minimal amount of work I can on this podcast, I think.
That's fair. That's also how they did Krypton.
Yeah. I'm jumping right in. Not feeling Krypton, huh? It's funny, we could insult Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. if either of us watched it. folks, we are going to be talking about a couple different superhero shows. All that deal with a little bit of the future. They're going to be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5. We might delve a little bit into Season 4 since it's been a little bit over a year since we've discussed the show. Then the return of Legion over on FX for its second season. And this new show called Krypton Superman's grandfather.
Oh, I thought it was about the gas.
Is it about the gas?
It's just like a whole show about one element.
And when you say we are going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you mean our two special guests.
Our two special guests. Joe Parsons of Master Pancake and Stag Comedy is joining us.
Hello.
Hey. And explain to us what Master Pancake is.
Master Pancake is essentially a live version of Mystery Science Theater. We watch movies at the Alamo Drafthouse, and we make jokes during it.
I saw one of your earliest performances when you guys were Mr. Sinus Theater, I believe. And you guys,
not a single one since.
You guys did Xanadu.
At
the UT campus.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was, I think, 12 or 13 years ago.
And I was like, what am I seeing?
The first one I ever saw when I moved to Austin was Dirty Dancing.
Oh, yeah. That's
and that was a high bar. And you know what I learned watching that? I learned that nobody puts Baby in the corner.
Oh. I learned that only assholes read Ayn Rand.
In fairness, I already knew that.
And that other voice on the microphone is our friend Paul Benjamin, who is a writer of comics and video games. You are currently working over at Daybreak Games, and you're working on DC. They make DC Online, but you're working on some other
There's a new unannounced project that I'm working on. And we're looking for people, so go to our site and check out the job offers.
Are you going to eat those people?
I mean, I'm not allowed to say.
See, you always ask. You always ask.
We'd love to have you for dinner.
You are also writing Disney Princess comics right now?
That is true.
Which ones are you working on?
So there's a line from Joe Books called Disney Princess, and it is comic strips. So sometimes it'll be like one funny strip. Sometimes it'll be 10 or 12 that all fit together.
Is this like just shared universe of all the princesses?
It's all of the licensed princesses from the Disney Princess license. So essentially all the princesses up to, let's see, not including Moana and not including Frozen.
Yeah, I think I was reading about like who's included in the official Disney Princess lineup. And like those two aren't. But there's a couple that aren't actually like princesses in their movies. But they were included on the list.
Right, technically. Like, Pocahontas is the daughter of the leader of her tribe, but not technically a princess.
Yeah, so I was like...
But I've gotten to write all of the princesses, which is pretty fun.
And you guys Alice in Wonderland, is Alice included as a princess?
She is. I don't know. Is she even Disney?
She's Disney.
She's not one of the princesses.
Yeah. You guys might not know, because I don't talk about it a lot, but I own a comic book store. And the Disney Princess comic is hugely popular.
Randy, you always talk about this comic book.
I was being sarcastic.
Yeah. I've been, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old girl. I believe, Joe, you do as well.
I do, yeah.
And what's, so all
what's,
about
this. I'll say, here's what's fun about it is, at least when I'm writing them, and a lot of other people do it too, our edict at least, it's not just like Pretty Princess, right? So like I did a story where
hardcore.
Snow
graphic it's, nudity.
It's still great violence. For kids.
You and Alan Moore and Lost Girls kind of stuff.
I mean, you know, when Cinderella drops acid. It, no, so
I believe that was
as
Alan.
An example. That was Alice. As an example, I did one where Snow White goes to work in the mines with the dwarves. She's like, "Why are y'all always so dirty when you get home? Well, I'll go do it with you." And then the gags are things like the dwarves are like, "Oh, these pickaxes are really heavy," and she like picks one up and has no problem and is swinging it around like it's nothing. And then it's like cut over to her lifting their beds to sweep under them, and she's like, "Oh, I guess I get a pretty good workout." Right, so there's an exercise theme, that kind of thing.
I'm not going to lie. Nice. That really sounds like the setup to a porn.
I heard the same thing you did.
It's like, oh, this pickaxe is really heavy. Ooh, you're so dirty. What, how did you get so dirty?
And now you're no longer writing.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for getting me kicked off the book.
But you also worked on you've also worked on several Marvel comics like Hulk and Spider-Man.
I have. I did a Marvel Adventures Hulk for a long run, and I've done a bunch of stories here and there with Spider-Man and Hulk, and I did some video game work on a Spider-Man game and a Wolverine game. I've done lots of other stuff too, World of Warcraft, StarCraft, Star Trek, Muppets, Monsters, Inc., all kinds of different properties.
You qualify in legal terms as a legal as an expert witness for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That is true. So and I've watched every episode, most of them, twice.
Wow. Okay. That's too much. Get out of here. There's the door.
Because here's what I learned. It's actually much better on a second watch.
I don't believe you.
And like, it's such a high bar. Like, wait, I have to watch it and then I have to watch it again?
Is that because you're drunk by then? Is that because you drink during the first viewing?
It could be brain damage.
And then the second one, you're drunk.
Honestly,
you have memory loss. You already did it.
I think it's about expectations. You watch that show and you're like, oh, it's going to be like S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comics. And then you're like, oh, this isn't like S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comics. And then you're disappointed. And then you say, fuck this, I'm not watching this show anymore.
And then you're like, what if it was like a lesser version of NCIS?
Yeah. If you say that, then it's great.
Oh, man.
Look, I've watched every episode. Are we jumping into S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
We're not ready yet?
No. I'm just throwing cheap shots at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we had a special patron, which, by the way, if you guys want to help us out, you can go to patreon.com/TVDudes and make a per-episode pledge. And if you guys even want to go up and give the $20 amount, you can special request an episode from us. And that's what our buddy EJ did. I believe EJ likes to torture us a little bit.
I hope so, because if he's sincerely hoping that I'm going to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. and how great it is,
in flowery terms,
I'm very sorry.
Yeah, but I'm here for you, EJ.
EJ wanted us to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again, and I think EJ knows that we do not watch this show. So we brought in you both, and this works out great because it's point counterpoint, and that, Paul, you seem to really like the show. And Joe, I know you don't.
Well, I mean, I'm a little conflicted because I still watch it. I'm still hoping it's going to turn itself around. But it started out great. Like, I'd say I have a good relationship with it, even though it has disappointed me over and over and over again.
There are a lot of things that disappoint me about it, but it is the relationships that I love. It's the character relationships.
That's an abusive relationship that you're in.
Shut up, Randy. You don't understand.
I know S.H.I.E.L.D. says it loves you.
Look, S.H.I.E.L.D. always tells us they're sorry.
Yeah, I feel like they are saying that a lot, actually.
Okay, so we're about to jump into this, but before we do, we want to go ahead and do a little bit of light news. We have a couple stories that Randy, what do we got?
All right. So HBO is adapting Mrs. Fletcher from the Leftovers author Tom Perrotta. Grant, do you know anything about this? I know you're a big fan of Leftovers, the show.
I know that he was a collaborator on the Leftovers, and he wrote the initial book. But, I mean, I don't know much about his work outside of this.
So this is a – they wrote a pilot. It's a comedy series starring Catherine Hahn, who I love. as a divorced mother with a college-age son, and what's being described as a dual coming-of-age story.
That's a pretty specific thing to love about her.
I love everything.
Oh, you love her in general.
No,
okay.
I love that specifically and everything else. So, yeah, she's going to be a divorcee and director of a senior center who finds the empty nest syndrome isn't so bad once her son is finally shipped off to college. And so she begins dipping her toe in the dating world once again. So she starts dating at her older age. Her son is then going to college, and we'll see that. It's an HBO comedy. It's got Catherine Hahn. I'm in.
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah.
It has no agents or S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm out.
Is she?
That's all you want. That's the only show I watched. Did I mention that?
Did they officially cancel I Love Dick?
I think they may have at least not done a second season because they didn't say anything about it here.
Yeah, I think they canceled it.
I think they did too.
It's gone.
Yeah.
But what I do think is interesting about this is that HBO gets these show creators, and then they really love to hold on to them and just turn them on to the next product because
that has been so hit or miss for them.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like they have such a hard time getting a second hit out of the same creator.
Like Alan Ball, for example?
Yeah, actually.
Alan Ball has not done well with his follow-up projects.
No, neither did the guy from Deadwood.
Yep.
True Blood did kind of well for him.
True Blood did well for him, but it was terrible.
Yeah, but David Milch,
the first
after
few seasons.
Deadwood.
Yeah, he did something. John from Cincinnati, and then David Chase did another thing for HBO.
Yeah.
And then
well, I mean, I'm kind of mixed on David Simon because – you know, Treme still had a pretty good fan base. It wasn't The Wire.
It wasn't a big hit.
I found it boring as all get out.
But The Wire took a long time for a lot of people to get into as well.
Yeah, but Treme wasn't
slow,
about anything.
Brilliant.
Yeah. The Wire at least was about like...
I love Treme, but I understand why people didn't. Like, it was very... It was like specifically aimed at about 30 people. I happen to be one of them.
Yeah, and it was very well done. Great performances. Yeah, yeah. Like, the atmosphere and all that stuff was all really great. But it just wasn't about anything.
It made The Wire spacingly feel like an action thriller. Yeah.
The Wire was an action thriller.
The Wire was an occasional action thriller.
Yeah,
it was a great
Deuce,
drama.
Though, seems like it's a little bit more in his wheelhouse.
I do love The Deuce.
I do love The Deuce.
Yeah, it is fantastic.
Yeah.
At any rate, yeah, it's been hit or miss, but I'm kind of curious. And this is nothing like The Leftovers. Leftovers was not laugh a minute funny.
At least in the first season. The first season was super bleak. But man, that was my favorite show 3 years running.
See, I didn't hang in there.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it through Leftovers.
It was a hard slog. I wound up liking it. But Grant loved it.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to watch it, but I'm Jewish, and I was like, boy, this is what I'm in for. I mean, no matter what.
I've got some bad news for you.
I'm an atheist, Paul. I know what you mean. So Neil Gaiman is going to produce Gormenghast TV series adaptation. And I really just want to read the headline to say the word Gormenghast.
I don't know what Gormenghast is.
Me neither. I remember the BBC series, and it's fantastic. I mean, the BBC series is fantastic. I haven't read the book, but it's Neil Gaiman, so I'm going to assume.
What is Gormenghast besides a fun word to say?
So essentially, it kind of reminds me of the first short story I did for Metal Hurlant. It's like set
also
in
a fun
a,
word to say.
Set
oh,
in
you
a,
dropped it.
Set in a gothic castle.
It's the castle.
It's a.
Sorry, continue.
So it's inside this gothic castle, where there's like this Machiavellian kitchen boy. I guess he's not Machiavellian. He's very sort of warm tongue. Ramsay Bolton, I guess not cruel like Ramsay Bolton, more like Littlefinger.
Just manipulative.
Manipulative, working his way up the social structure. Ooh, as best
through
I
cuisine.
Recall.
Oh, Hannibal. Gotcha.
This story, my favorite part of the story that people listening to the podcast can't see because you got to go Screen Rant, but this author photo of Neil Gaiman holding an oversized book is really delightful.
I believe he's holding a tome.
A tome, yeah, that's not a book.
It might
that's
be a Librem.
So go to Screen Rant and look up that story because that's my favorite part of the story. All right. So then we've got this. I think this is cool. A League of Their Own is getting a TV series on Amazon.
That's cool.
I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's Amazon, though.
That's true.
I mean, what other shows do you guys like on Amazon?
The Tick.
Oh, you like The Tick?
I like The Tick. Oh, it's not okay. It's not the same as the. I mean, nothing's going to be as good as the animated series because there's no Chairface Chip and Dale, and it's not the same as the Warburton version. But it's still great in its own way.
Yeah, we watched it when we did Amazon pilot season a couple years ago.
Yeah. I feel like with Amazon, my problem with almost every Amazon show, and I think it may be all of them, it's always like you have to preface it by saying, well, it's not Netflix. But for Amazon, it's pretty good.
The Man in the High Castle is effing brilliant.
But it's not Netflix.
Really?
I did not love Man in the High Castle. I find all of Amazon stuff a little slow.
I don't know if I fully gave it a chance. I watched like the first episode and I went,
oh, yeah, no, you got to watch more of it.
I watched the whole first season. I liked it. All right. I didn't love it. I don't know. Amazon, they have not had a hit for me. I really like Sneaky Pete.
Well, I mean, they had Transparent, which the first season was incredible.
Yeah, it was really good. First season was great. It went downhill. Yeah. But anyway, League of Their Own getting a good TV. It's a good premise for a TV show.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. And then
I feel like this next story should have been tied to the first one.
Oh, man. Yeah, we were talking about HBO. So True Detective Season 3 director Jeremy Saulnier leaves filming early. True Detective, after that brilliant first season, has been so troubled.
Mm-hmm.
That's an example of, oh, I heard season 2 is shitty. I didn't watch it.
Hey, it was.
By the way, can I say shitty on your podcast?
You can.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and that's an accurate word, too. the problem, season 2, it's like they thought the best part about season 1 on True Detective was the mystery and the intrigue, and they decided to double down on that and skip out on actual plot.
Oh, yeah. But also nothing not happened. Deliver.
Yeah.
Like, I already felt there was a problem with the first season that, like, it ends kind of limply. Like, they don't take down anyone. They think they have, like, one fall guy, but, like, the bigger problem that was going on, it's just kind of left open-ended.
Mm-hmm. Lee Majors was in it?
Yes, Lee Majors was in it.
As the fall guy?
That's yes.
That's old school.
So, yeah, I'm just kind of disappointed. What's the guy's name? The Austin dude who's the writer?
Nick Pizzolatto. Yeah.
He seems like he's trouble. Yeah. No one seems to want to work with him. Yeah. Cary Fukunaga from the first season, his directing was incredible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In fact, it almost might have like taken first place over Nick Pizzolatto's writing.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is that True Detective Season 1 was sort of alchemy. They caught all these sort of troubled, like potentially troubled actors, writers, directors, and it all came together in this sort of beautiful piece. And trying to recreate that is really tricky.
Especially when you put Vince Vaughn in there.
Especially with Vince Vaughn in there.
There were a lot of things about Season 2 that were intriguing. Like they had some good concepts around.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a dirty cop teaming with, like, you know, there was like the team up between a dirty cop, a crime boss who's like trying to do the right thing, and then, like, you know, a disgraced cop or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know how you make sex cult boring, but they did.
Boy, they sure did. And you know what?
I've been in a few sex cults.
Spoiler,
that
can we do spoilers for season two
spoilers
of True Detective?
Season 2, yeah.
All right, so what kind of struck me is that, you know, in the first episode of season 2, you want to know who killed this guy. They find the body. Mm-hmm. You want to know who killed him. And by the end of the entire season, not only do you not find out, but you don't care.
Yeah,
like there's
matter.
Absolutely no payoff. Nothing mattered.
Yeah.
They got so deep into other things. Jesus, Grant.
I keep dropping my headphones. But if I mention that that's what happened, I don't have to edit it later.
What's great is it sounded like Joe got really upset and knocked something around the room.
This is bullshit. They ended up killing what's his face? John Carter of Mars.
Yeah. Oh, Taylor Kitsch.
Yeah, they killed Taylor Kitsch and they killed all these other people and they did all this stuff. There was a sex cult. And in the end, none of that had anything to do with who killed that one dude.
No.
It was all completely irrelevant.
All red herrings,
All red herrings.
I think Pizzolatto was just like, oh, shit. First season's a hit. I got to hustle and just try and throw something together. Mystery, 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 mystery. No delivery.
Yeah. I think I give HBO credit for trying to do season 3 to see if they can bring this back because it's not a bad brand. Sort of weird detective fiction. Like, that's a good idea. But, man, it's a really uphill thing for them to do, and for them to lose their director does not sound like a good sign.
Yeah. Well, do you guys want to go ahead and take a break so we can hash out Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Let's take a break, and then we will discuss every character in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and come up with the profiles, and then we'll come back. We'll be right back.
words of Randy Lander, we're going to line up this order of TV discussion as an unconventional shit sandwich. I believe that's what you called it.
I actually called it a bizarro shit sandwich to keep with the comic theme.
Oh, okay, that works but better. Then,
which means it would taste delicious.
Yeah, it would taste delicious and smell great. But then Joe Parsons nailed it, I think, with the oops all berries of shit sandwiches.
No, I'm not okay with this.
At which point you got super defensive about oops all berries.
It's my favorite cereal by far.
But if it was a shit sandwich,
how could
it
be your favorite
shit
cereal when there's peanut butter Cap'n Crunch?
I buy 2 boxes of oops all berries each week and
oh, that's not good.
I'm dying.
You should see a doctor.
It's all he eats. It's in the beer he has in front of him right now.
Although I can imagine you seeing your doctor and your doctor goes, oh, oops. It's all berries in there.
Oh, you have oops all berry syndrome?
You got oops all barium enema.
Oh, Jesus. So we're going to start with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then we're going to talk about Legion, Season 2 premiere, and then Krypton to close things out. But first off, guys, last year we discussed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., probably because EJ also requested this of us. Because I think Randy and I decided we were donezo with this show for a while back.
But I went in and I watched some of the Ghost Rider season. But then when it got requested again, I was like, fool me 3 times. Shame on you. We hooked in Joe and Paul.
Did you watch the first half of the Ghost Rider season or the second half?
I think it was the first half.
Okay. Yeah, so we saw
Ghost Rider part. Not yeah.
We saw Ghost Rider and we saw a little bit of the Life Model decoys.
A little bit of the LMDs.
But we didn't see any of the Agents of Hydra, which also leads into the Agents in Space or whatever is going on this season.
Yeah.
So I don't know necessarily where we should kick things off. Maybe we should just start with Season 5. But if you guys want the background that we haven't even addressed what happens beforehand.
Yeah, let's hear what's going on.
Well, one thing about it. So speaking of the Ghost Rider season, which I thought was pretty promising, the Ghost Rider part itself was actually kind of cool. Mm-hmm. It was well done. It's like the best Ghost Rider has been portrayed.
Yeah, although that's a low bar.
That is a low bar, but... But I will say that they've been doing this weird trend for the last, like, 3 seasons where they kind of mash 2 seasons together.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't – it's really strange. Like, halfway through the season, there's just a total – like tonal shift.
Isn't that
and it
well,
just
and
launches into another
that's
thing.
What I like about it is that they're like, because it used to be, we're going to commit to this one thing for a whole season, and if you don't like Inhumans, guess what? You're getting a whole season about the Inhumans.
Well, but you do anyway.
And spoiler, no one likes Inhumans.
Yeah. But they do that anyway. Yeah. So they fully commit to both things, even if they're both terrible.
Isn't that, though, the problem of, like, modern TV landscape that, like, seasons are getting shorter. Everyone's doing 13 episodes max. Like they're down to like 10 or 8.
So
like the Netflix model.
8 seems to be the standard.
It's kind of like the ideal, but you know, they're saddled with doing 22 episodes a season.
So we're essentially getting 2 seasons each season. Essentially like so we're really talking about like seasons 5 and 6 or 6 and 7 of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. When you get to that mid-season break,
it's essentially a new season.
Yeah. Yep. And
wow, which is a good that's a good segue into this most recent season, season 5, S.H.I.E.L.D. in Space, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s in Space, because it was so weird, and I've never felt like a show suffered more from its set than anything else I've ever seen.
That is a problem for the show, right?
You saw Inhumans.
The set. Well, yeah, okay, but the whole season, the entire season was filmed in, like, plywood hallways. Like, it looked terrible. It looked like a high school production.
Sure, sure. So here's the thing, because there's a lot of stuff I will not defend about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The sets are one of them. For me, it's the characters and the characterization that makes that show great. So in season 1, you've got Melinda May, badass martial artist. And someone says, aren't you going to take a gun? And she says, if I need a gun, I'll take one. And then in the course of the episode, she beats the crap out of some people, takes their guns and uses their guns, right? And it's like, that tells you everything you need to know about Melinda May. And then later, I don't remember what season it is, it's 1 or 2, she has to go undercover and she's like dancing and laughing, and the agents listening in are like, what is that sound? What's wrong? Is something wrong? And they're like, no, it's May. She's laughing. And they're like, oh my God, I can't believe she's laughing. And then
That scene was painful, by the way.
And that's fair enough, but it's funny characterization.
Yes.
And then you get to the most recent season after they've gotten back from space. Spoiler alert, they get back from space.
Spoiler alert, they're in space.
And they're all talking about all of the terrible stuff that has happened to them as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're like, oh, and then, you know, we went into the Matrix, and then we became outlaws, and then so-and-so died, and then... And Melinda's like, dancing.
I did see that. That was the episode I watched. I watched one episode because EJ demanded it. I watched an episode, and that reference was in that episode.
Yeah.
I remember that, yeah.
Well, to get you caught up, this season started them... They found themselves in space on the remnants of a space station... like whatever, 150 years in the future.
90 years in the future. I read the Wikipedia.
90 years in the future, and they're on this space station, like orbiting space station that is really just a bunch of concrete walls. That's all it is. Like, you don't get the grandeur of being in space. You just kind
of... There's a few shots of space. There's some flying in space.
Yeah,
there's a little bit.
Every now and then they'll say, like, oh, by the way, these plywood hallways, you're in space. You just... Even though it's all just gray and putty colored.
But like, then you have Mac referencing every space movie where they're like, let's split up. We can cover more ground that way. And Mac's like, have none of you seen a movie in space? And by the way, you know who's going to be the first person to die? By the way, if you don't know, Mac is a black guy.
Yeah.
But like, also you have things like Mac knocks out the guy who is about to tell Phil Coulson information they need to have because the guy's holding a gun on Phil and Phil's gotten him talking. So Phil's not really in danger, but Mac walks in, sees him, he knocks him out. And later on, the guy's still unconscious and Phil's like, Mac, how hard did you hit this guy? As hard as I possibly could. Right? Like, what kind of question is that? He was holding a gun on you.
There is definitely some clever dialogue. It has that. I still think the dialogue itself still has the crackle of the first season and all that stuff. It's just at this point, there's like four people left in S.H.I.E.L.D. and they're in the future and they're just trying to get back to the past in a time machine and they're dealing with a substance called gravitonium. It is so. It's just. It's lost me. And like, I like the show. I do. And I like the people that are on it. And I like the characters. And there's a lot that I really like about it. I think it's a cool idea for a show. Boy, it is being very poorly executed.
Well, I feel like that's super kind. Like, I remember watching this show and I'm like, I don't like the characters. I don't like the plot. I don't like how they ruined Agent Coulson from the character he was in Marvel movies.
That's the thing. I think the actors here are blameless. Like, all these actors I like. The Fitz and Simmons and
Grant Ward became great once he got to be a bad guy. Yeah.
Melinda May, I forget the actress's name now. I'm a big fan of hers.
Ming-Na Wen.
She's great. Phil Coulson, love him. And yeah, somehow they've taken all these characters I like, and I don't care if they live or die in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is a failure of execution, like Joe said. Also, I don't think I'm behind the times here. Disney owns ABC, right? Did Disney run out of money in some way? Why the fuck does it look so cheap?
I don't know why it looks cheap. Especially compared to, not to skip ahead, but compared to Krypton.
Yeah.
Which looks like it cost a fortune.
By the way, I mean, the
Krypton or Star Trek?
So, like, so
they
first
make
of
a lot
all,
of money with this show.
Disney does a lot of stuff on the cheap.
Yeah, but I don't
know why that show always looks cheap, but there's got to be a reason.
It can't be the salaries of the cast members. There's nobody like A-list or B-list.
Randy, we were complaining about this in the pilot episode when he hops in the car that's supposed to fly through the air.
It looks cheap.
Or what's his name? Cyborg dude who jumps out of the building.
Deathlock.
Deathlock.
Deathlock
it just
looks so bad.
Here's the thing. I guess I think of it kind of like Buffy, right? And it's got that original Whedon element to it, right? Yeah. And a Whedon working on it. And if you watch Buffy, like, the effects are bad, and the sets are bad, and there's a lot of it that
20 years ago,
it looks cheap. I understand, but even then it looked cheap. Like, I remember one of my friends saying, you need to watch Buffy, you will love it. First season's okay, it's not great. I was like, I have to suffer through 13 crappy episodes to enjoy this show, F you. And then finally I watched it, and of course I loved it.
Yeah. I will put any season one episode of Buffy against any episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
any of them, any of the season one episodes of Buffy, up against any episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I can't think of a single one where I was like, oh, that one was
great. Would be an intriguing challenge.
Because you're not remembering all of the episodes of Buffy season one. Because I do think it
could be
done.
You could take the best episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. might be better than the worst episode
like
of Buffy.
The post-Winter Soldier Hydra takes over, like the pinnacle of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's the pinnacle of the show, right? The Hydra is revealed to be
those
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Those were some great episodes, yeah.
And they, you know, the war is revealed to be bad by the,
season two, I think
that's part of, I think you're pointing out, though, one of the biggest problems that this show has had is that it's never been able to be the show that it should have been.
Its concept was eradicated
because
from the start.
They knew they couldn't really be S.H.I.E.L.D. long term because they knew this turn was coming.
Yeah.
And the rest of the series has been... as far as we know from the movies, there's no S.H.I.E.L.D., so we've got to be this underground organization.
I disagree. I think if you think about the way they handled it in the movies and then on the show where they said like, okay, yeah, there's no more S.H.I.E.L.D. because it all crumbled and there was all the Hydra stuff.
Right.
So now there's just no more S.H.I.E.L.D. except these six people.
Yeah.
Like now we are S.H.I.E.L.D. and like – I could see that working. That's actually a blessing in disguise for them.
Well, that's.
But at the same time, then they get more ambitious with the plots, and like you can't have an intergalactic storyline with six people.
Yes,
and like they don't have. I mean, it's just it doesn't make any sense, and like it's too much. Like they get into stuff that is so, you know, doomsday things that they just don't pick up the phone and call the Avengers.
That's the other thing. They keep like. They bring in – they decide all of a sudden they're going to deal with Ghost Rider. And I understand you want to bring in Ghost Rider, but all of a sudden they're dealing with a Darkhold and they're the line of defense against why were they dealing with magic? That is not Phil Coulson's
because they were doing Doctor Strange in the movies.
Yeah,
everything in this show is playing catch-up or like trying to play along. Like in some way it's still integrated with the MCU. But the sad thing is – that the Marvel Cinematic Universe doesn't give a fuck about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No.
Well, they never have.
It's actually my understanding of it, and I could be wrong, but from what I've heard and read is there's a split.
Yeah.
There was a creative split between the people running the film and the people running television.
And guess who lost?
And they essentially and so they separated them into fiefdoms as opposed to film really bringing in television.
Well, okay, but so and I understand there's different rights involved when you get into Netflix and all that stuff, but, you know, there's also the Defenders.
Yeah.
There's also, you know, all the other Marvel properties it seems like they could do. They had, what's her face, Lady Sif show up on a couple of episodes and, like, that kind of thing is gone.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't even
deal
with that shit
anymore. I
think
that was before the big split.
Well, I think
– You had Nick Fury show up.
It feels to me like it's like you've got the little brother –
yep.
Desperately wants to play with Big Brother. Big Brother is the MCU and the little brother is the TV shows. And the little brother is trying so hard. He's like, oh, my Big Brother's into magic now. I'm going to be into magic. And it's just sad and pathetic. And Big Brother doesn't even notice. Or maybe occasionally it kicks the little brother in the teeth. I don't know where I'm going with this metaphor anymore.
I don't even know they get to be called brothers. I feel like that's in some ways too familial.
It's like a stalkerish fan.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know you.
Don't
get
know
the fuck
you.
Away from me. But like, okay, let me ask you guys this. Mm-hmm. I read the synopsis, and of this season of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 5, and episode by episode, it seems like what's going on is that the whole team was initially transported 90 years into the future, or most of the team except for Fitz, right?
Yep.
Because they were there to help stop some cataclysmic event. And they are being held captive by the Kree, right?
Right.
Yep.
So if one still wants to draw parallels between what's going on here and what's going on in the MCU, the assumption is that Thanos was and Thanos's Age of Infinity Wars?
War. Yeah.
The Infinity Wars was in a way playing a role in whatever cataclysmic event happens that they have to behind the scenes prevent?
No, I think it's clear that it's going to be part of the show.
Yeah.
It seems like it's more like, hey, there's Guardians of the Galaxy, and we're about to do Infinity Gauntlet, so we want to do a thing in space.
They basically know that if they infuse... That's so stupid. It sounds so stupid to say it out loud. If they give Quake, if they infuse her with gravitonium, it will enhance her powers to such a degree that she can destroy the world. And they've called this program that was in development for... 40 years or so, The Destroyer of Worlds, which then everybody kind of has this big aha moment because that's what they've been calling her the whole time they were in the future.
And there's also the – there's a little girl who was introduced in a previous season who is a – she's a precog.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of these events, like the reason they were expecting her in the them in the future was because the girl knew that they were going to go to the future.
Oh, my God. They did prophecy stuff too? That's never a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait, Destroyer of the Worlds. Maybe I'm not fully up on my Marvel. Isn't that Galactus' nickname?
No, he's Devourer.
Devourer of Worlds.
Okay, there's
Quake's
all these
just going to destroy it. She's not going to eat it. Yeah, she's not a monster.
He eats worlds. He doesn't
destroy
them.
And who's the one who's friend of all worlds?
That's the Aquarian.
Okay.
That's a joke that like four Marvel fans are like, fuck yeah, Aquarius.
I am deep into Marvel, and I didn't get that.
he's Space Jesus.
Oh, I know who he is.
Oh, okay, good.
I recognize him. I know the white outfit with the blue fringe.
Wait, I thought Jesus was Space Jesus.
No, he's Earth Jesus.
Jesus doesn't have borders.
Also, I heard recently he is risen.
Oh,
yeah,
hey.
I heard that too.
I don't know what that means, but I've been seeing signs around town.
So do you guys get the sense that this season is being divided still? Because it seems like the first part
basically they're in space and now they're on Earth.
And now they're on Earth, but is there like a dividing line like with what's going on plot-wise?
Yes. Essentially, yeah, sorry, Joe, do you want
to... Yes, so once I get back, there's like this huge climax where they get in the time machine and they go back. And
this is all because Fitz somehow built the machine, but also went back.
So here's a great. So this was a great moment, though. So Fitz, they all get transported into the future.
Yeah.
They don't know where Fitz is. Then there's an episode with Fitz and Mockingbird's ex-husband, Lance, who's a fun character. Together, they go and do a mission to get Fitz to the future.
Wait. They brought back Lance Hunter, but not Mockingbird?
Because she was on another show.
Oh, God damn it.
I know.
Yep.
Wait, what show is she on right now?
I don't know. She's on...
She's on Orville.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I miss her.
Me too. She's my favorite part of the show.
She was great. Yeah. So you
is Orville coming back?
What's that?
Yeah.
Sidebar.
Yeah,
is Orville coming back?
Yeah, it's coming back for a new season, and there's more controversy around it. It's topical. So
fair enough.
Fitz works with a Chronicom who's like an immortal robot dude, and
who only showed up now.
By the way, I love that you blow right past that.
Yeah.
they put Fitz in suspended animation, and he's got a cache of weapons that he set aside in a location that will exist in the future. And then he gets out in the future, and he's pretending to be a space bounty hunter so he can go try to buy Quake
at the
Kree slave auction.
Yeah. These are all the things that they just kind of glance past. They're like, oh, yeah, also there's these immortal robot guys, and he's a space bounty hunter. But the important thing is that they get into the bunkers.
But here's what I love about it is they don't just blow past it. There's a scene where...
they talk about it for
Simmons,
3 minutes.
Yeah, where Simmons and Quake are like, wow, what's the deal with... Like, how is Fitz even here? I don't know. He just showed up in a spaceship with a laser gun. It's like, that's a baller move.
To call out your own bad writing?
Yeah.
All right.
To acknowledge crazy shit.
Oh, my God.
So... I'm getting a sense of this season from you guys. And, Joe, I don't even know why you're sticking with it.
I still like it. It's a guilty pleasure at this point.
But I do get a sense of why Paul's still kind of enjoying the ride despite all of its problems.
Here's the thing. I'm a writer, so I know how hard it is to write a good plot where everything holds together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they do some stuff that I'm like, I don't love that. But they don't do a lot of things that bug the crap out of me. Like, there are some shows that I watch that I'm like, oh, I want this to be so much better than it is. But then they keep having another speedster as a villain and weird, crazy, stupid time travel stuff. I'm sorry, did I?
So here's my
question.
There's
a lot of good shows out there.
Because you are a writer and you're familiar with this kind of thing. Do you think it's possible, and this is just my theory, that there's some executive – who's like 10-year-old, is giving him notes. And he's like, okay, just so you guys know, because the writer's room, he's like, this season, I want a space bounty hunter, immortal robots, time travel, and a destroyer of worlds. Work that out.
No, I think it is. I think it's exclusively like, all right, look, we got to get the fuck out of the way of Marvel movies.
Right.
We got to get out of their way. They are heading towards Infinity War.
Let's jump ahead in time so our characters aren't even involved in
that.
That's
right. That's exactly what they did. And they're like, and do it on the cheap.
I think
so. They're like, okay, we'll film in a hallway. We'll film in a hallway for 11 episodes.
It's worked out for all the Netflix Marvel shows.
That's a great hallway scene. I feel like they're looking back at the old 1960s, like Nick Fury Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. stories that were in Tales of Suspense, one of those like Tales of, where S.H.I.E.L.D. is like, hey, we've developed Operation Brain Blast or whatever it is. We've got some psychic agents now. And Mentallo, who is a former S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, is like, F you, you're not building machines that can do what I do. I'm going to go help the Fixer. Oh, the Fixer broke himself out of jail because he's so super smart. I'm going to go partner with him, and then we're going to come, and we're going to invade S.H.I.E.L.D., just the two of us. We're going to take Nick Fury captive, and we're going to put him in a mask that allows us to control his mind, and then we're going to use him to take over S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, that crazy crap happened all the time in those old comics. That's and I feel true. Like that's what they're doing. They're just saying,
I don't think the writing
F it,
is
we're just gonna we're gonna go crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the writing is bad on the show, which is kind of a weird distinction, because that's usually my go-to of like, here's why this is bad, is because they can't write their way out of a corner. Like, they're just kind of – they don't know what to do. But the writing on this show, I think the dialogue is really good. I think they're being really ambitious with their storytelling, which is
ambitious
which
is definitely
cool.
A word.
Yeah. But – my God, the execution is just so terrible. And like I said when I started this, I've never seen a TV show suffer more from its sets than anything else. Just completely takes you out of what's actually happening. Because like I said, 11 episodes, they're in space 90 years in the future. But you would know it because it looks like the same concrete bunker they're in every other episode. And then when they get back to the present, they go back into a bunker.
Yeah.
They're a bunker now. They're still in a bunker.
There's a lot of being in bunkers, and that is the thing that drives me bonkers.
Okay, so there's three episodes left for this season.
God, really?
Are there really only three episodes?
There's
a lot to wrap up.
I think it's only an 18-episode run, and I'm curious what you guys think they're going to either end with or where do they go from here?
I don't think they'll get renewed. I really don't, because
their numbers are still kind of high, actually.
Well, network TV, I mean, it's
– yeah, well, okay. So here's the problem they're going to have is that there is no way for them to get around Infinity War.
Yeah.
Like, you can't ignore it the way they've ignored everything else that's happened since the show started. Like, they did acknowledge Civil War.
Did they?
Yeah, so like the whole Agents of Hydra and the
remember,
you know.
Yeah, Quake has to sign the
that's right, I
Sokovia
remember that.
Accords.
Yeah, that's right, I remember that.
I'm not talking about like a passing line of dialogue, like the when S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra, like they whatever that was, season two, it was parallel to
Winter Soldier
was a major part of the TV show.
Yeah. Right.
After that, they haven't acknowledged anything else.
Right, yeah. Except for a line or two.
Yeah.
That is fair.
So yeah. I
don't know how they avoid it.
I can't wait till next season when they bring Thanos in.
That'd be great.
And he joins the team.
They can only afford the action figure, though. Yeah, so just going to waddle in.
No, it's just someone with his fist. You never see him. It's like Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget.
It's perfect.
He's the guy giving the orders.
You just get like Ron Perlman to shave his head and make him Thanos.
They're going to become agents of Thanos.
I'm pretty sure actually what's going to happen is they're going to team up with everybody from Legion, because the universes are going to get merged after the Infinity War.
Oh, Paul.
No.
That's so sadly that. Optimistic.
No, I would not want that to happen.
Also, great segue.
Thank you.
Guys, let's talk about Legion. Legion's back for season 2, episode 1, and it is just as fucking bonkers.
I am so glad to see that they decided to just go straight down the middle and just have a story where everything's really clear and obvious, and there's no subtext, and it's just straight ahead.
It's
Like, none of that complicated, weird stuff from season one.
Is Grant Morrison involved in this at all?
That's not what they did.
It is so psychedelic.
It's so great.
Like, when when I watch how ambitious this is, I always think about the not only the cinematography, which is spectacular, but also the editing and how masterfully the editor is able to cut everything together and just make this work and make it so entrancing.
Yeah. It's the Bizarro Shield. It looks expensive. It's weird, but in a way that draws you in. Mm-hmm. And the characters are fantastic, and they're given great dialogue and good things to do.
I mean, we watched like the first probably 5-10 minutes, and I don't know about you guys, but I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, and you love that you don't know what the fuck is going on.
So I watched the whole first season in the last couple days.
This is insane to me because I don't think that's a binge show.
No, it wasn't easy.
It helps binging it, actually. There's a lot of stuff where I was like, oh, now this all makes sense.
It actually helped me. So the guy with the scars on his face, that helped only having seen that 3 days ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
So I watched like the whole thing, and so most of it, or actually all of it, I watched without my wife there, but I'm just trying to finish the episode from yesterday, so I was watching that tonight, and my wife walked by as I'm watching the first like 5-10 minutes of the show, and she kind of stopped and watched it for a second. She just said, wow, that's a beautiful shot. And I was like, it is, this whole show is like that. Yeah. It's gorgeous. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Every
beautiful show.
Is an experience.
And then she's like, what the hell is happening? I was like, you know what? I just watched all of this and I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the hell any of this is. Yeah. And it's so beautiful. I can't look away.
Well, that's the other thing. It's not just the sets and the cinematography. Like, the costuming is fantastic. Mm-hmm. The period piece really gets across.
But is it a period
piece?
That's what's great.
Exactly.
It's like so unclear.
It exists with like outside of time. Yeah. And like the Shadow King. I don't want to think about the time aspect. Yeah. I just want to exist in this world and just digest whatever they're putting out there for us.
Yeah, I was trying to look for clues about that because I thought that was going to be some kind of twist at some point.
Yeah.
But where is he? Oh, it's when the guy is the guy with the scars on his face.
Yep.
He's going back to work, and they're trying to place him now that he has a disability.
I think his name is Clark.
Clark. Okay. Well, he's sitting at a desk, and they're using one of the iMacs that has the little like swivel head.
Mm-hmm.
So like the little dome thing with the swivel head. That's the computer they have. So I'm like, okay. This isn't in the past or the present. It's like the early 2000s.
When he's interrogating David in the very beginning of the show, he's got some kind of an iPad. He's got some kind of a tablet.
And all their clothes are very retro.
Their clothes are all retro, 60s, 70s.
And I thought, okay, there's times where you can see them using some sort of like flat screened thing. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what though? This is a world where super geniuses exist, so maybe they're just they invented their own thing. But
even their X-Men mansion seems very 70s, like where they were in the first season. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is this place?
And then they have like the hollow watches that like does the giant hologram of his name?
Yeah,
Bill Irwin.
Yeah, back at headquarters, right? And he's talking to them from his lab.
Carrie
Loudermilk.
So, okay, a quick synopsis of this episode, if that's possible. We have, what's the name, main dude's name?
David.
So David has been gone. He disappeared in an orb a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And he's
under a year ago. 362 days.
That's right. Yeah. It's specifically spelled out.
Okay, yeah. So he's been gone about a year, and he comes back, and he thinks only a day has passed, or he might potentially be lying, but everything's a little bit confused in that area. And since then, it seems like their little pseudo-X-Men, since they can't call themselves X-Men,
right.
Their little operation has been taken on by a bigger government control.
They've merged with the group that was chasing them in season one, Division
and now they're,
3.
Now they're in Division 3 of this like three-tier system. They're the tip of the spear. And it's interesting how they've moved, and they have this new overlord. What's his name? Fukunaga? Is that right?
Yes. And he is
Admiral Fukunaga.
He is some sort of like he wears a giant basket on his head
and speaks through three women who use like the portal voice.
And also, I'm not sure he's a he.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Like, I can't even tell from the body gender, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah, they're genderless. So they're like women bodies, but they have mustaches and weird bowl haircuts. Yeah. They're robots, but they...
So, yeah, I'm wondering, like, you know, you guys are comic experts. Like, what are these characters that are
referencing? I specifically don't Google on
I'm telling you, it's like
that.
Straight Grant Morrison, Alan Moore kind of stuff, where it's just like really weird Invisibles kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Like that really reminded me of those triplets that follow around Emma Frost.
Yeah, the stuff for cuckoos.
But they're in The Gifted. Like, actual stuff for cuckoos are in The Gifted.
Yeah.
Okay, but, you know, it seems like maybe they're drawing a parallel. Well, like, these are the speakers for this other guy.
That's the thing Legion does really well that I like, is that they riff on this stuff. But other than a few direct parallels, like the Shadow King and David Haller, they're making nods. Like, David Haller's love interest is very rogue. She can touch people and take their powers.
And she switches bodies.
But it's very rogue.
But she can't touch anyone, which
and
is rogue.
They gave her that. The Carrie and his badass ass-kicking twin, or what, the girl who lives
symbiote
inside him. Yeah, that's sort of Madroxy in some ways, but it's different from Madrox. Mm-hmm. Like, they're taking what is in the comics and doing a new spin on it. I feel like the Step for Cuckoos reference makes perfect sense. It's not that, but it's a nod to that.
Well, but I don't know that it's derivative, because I don't, at this point, all of the superpowers have been written.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you can't make a new one. Everybody's thought of every ability there ever was. And so this is the best way to be original that you could be, because they're just...
No, I love it. I think it's really cool that they do this, because everybody riffs on everything else, and usually it's kind of tired or predictable. This is just like this is someone who clearly has a love for the superhero or clearly has a love for the comics, but filters it through such an original voice that it never feels like just a lazy remix.
And
that's Grant Morrison, that's Alan Moore. You're not wrong. That's what they
do,
too.
It's the presentation.
What I found most fascinating about this is that the David character, we get this build-up to this climax at the end of the episode where he is being a little bit indirect, a little bit... He's hiding information from his from Sid, his girlfriend, and from everyone really about what his relationship might be with the Shadow King and where he's been this whole time.
Right,
and you know, we get these little vignettes, these narrations by John Hamm that are going on.
Oh yeah,
and those are fantastic. I was like, oh, that's John Hamm, and I knew that because of Mad Men, but also kind of because of. What's that, Kimmy Schmidt?
Oh, yeah.
That's
the Reverend.
But anyway, we get this sneaking suspicion that, you know, despite the Shadow King potentially leaving him, he's still infected by an idea that's been implanted in his mind. It seemed a little bit almost like Inception in that way.
Well, it did, and it also... it's so deep. There's the announcement that they keep making in the new headquarters that is essentially, if you're having thoughts that seem like maybe they're not your thoughts, report it.
Yeah.
One of them, they're like,
that was so great.
Repeating audio hallucinations. Repeating audio hallucinations.
Yeah, I remember that part. Yeah.
And then they could just go on with the rest of the announcement.
That's so
great.
And
you're like, what is happening?
Guys, we're skipping over the weirdest thing that happened in this whole episode, which was the dance number.
I fucking love the dance number.
I have a theory on the dance number.
Okay.
Because there was a dance number in season one, too.
There was a dance number in season one. But
very
in this
Bollywood
one,
dancing thing.
So in this one, it is basically a dance-off between... David and his backup dancers, Lenny and her backup dancers, and Jermaine Clements.
Whatever his character's name is.
Oliver Byrne.
Oliver, thank you. And Oliver and his backup dancers. My theory is that we've seen a lot of psychic battles in comics, and it's usually either psychic people punching each other or they're throwing energy at each other.
Waves. Coming from their head.
And I felt like, holy shit, every psychic battle from now on needs to be a dance-off.
I think you're right.
That's what it was, I think.
Well, I thought that initially when I saw it, but after the big reveal at the end where he's under the impression that Sid from the future needs him to go back and help Shadow King find his actual body.
Yeah.
That what we were seeing there was more of like a courting dance than an actual like battle between them. I thought they all squared off, and then it was like this kind of like we are all like working together, and that was the kind of way that I guess the director wanted to show that like,
getting him to
they're trying to be like, hey, we're all together, we can work together.
But see,
that's not how I saw that
at all. How did you interpret it?
Well, first of all, I thought it was way too aggressive and confrontational to be some sort of mating dance, because it was a fight. Like, yeah. There was no like reconciliation at the end, even though later there was – anyway. I saw it as more of a communication. That it was some sort of nonverbal way that they were talking to each other, that only they knew how to talk to each other some sort of weird unspoken thing. Plus, we don't even know that that actually happened.
Well, here's the thing.
Because he was presumably in the orb.
I don't think any of that happened in reality. The deal with Legion Legion in the comics has multiple personalities in his head, and they've all got different powers. And that's how the Shadow King gets involved with him. He just kind of goes in there with this guy who's schizophrenic, who has all these personalities. So I think that the nod they're making is that David Haller has Lenny and now Oliver Byrd in his head. Not them actually, but like psychic projections and the infections.
But the dancing actually happened. There was an actual club.
But it's in his head. All of that is in his head.
Yeah.
But how did he like astral project himself into that club?
Yes. He could have teleported into a club.
He's represented in there. I think.
I don't think a physical dance battle happened at this club, right? Sure. Yeah.
They found him in a club. I'm saying he could have teleported into the club.
Yeah.
But this was all what we are seeing. I think you're right. It's a construct of what's going on in his own mind.
See, I don't think he actually went there at all.
Yeah, I think it's all a construct in his head.
Well, right. So I think the club represents something, and I think his memory isn't clear about, you know, what actually happened or whether he even saw those people or not.
Right.
Like, I don't know that he even saw Shadow King at all.
Yeah.
Like, he's just
– Or the bald version of him, the devil with yellow eyes.
That was interesting that we saw not just the devil with yellow eyes this time. We didn't see
him. The guy with the two eyebrows.
We actually saw Amal Farouk.
In Paris sitting in front of the Eiffel Tower.
Which is a callback to the actual – like, it was in Morocco, I think, where Xavier and Shadow King had their duel, and he destroyed his body. Which, by the way, they referenced in this episode. I love that he says,
"Save my father."
My father destroyed him or something.
Well, and when they showed it in season one, he drew the dad. He's like, "Oh, so my father," and he was conceptualizing him as a stick figure, but he was totally drawing Professor X.
Yeah, he's a bald dude.
Yeah.
Wait, so, okay, Randy, last season, at the end of the season, we saw the orb, and you had theories about what the orb might be.
None of which panned out, sadly.
Well, do we even know what this orb is now?
Well, the two theories that I think Les and I had these theories was that it was possibly that it could be the Shi'ar. They're alien, you know, people.
Definitely not the Shi'ar.
And we had thought that it could be Arcade, who kidnaps X-Men and put them in Murder World. And it's neither of those things.
Okay.
Which is too bad, because I would have
been super bonkers. Did you see the thing, like, scenes from next week?
I think I did, but maybe I didn't.
I didn't.
Okay, so there's a part at the end where Carrie is, like, dissecting
the
orb. And he's saying, like, this is so weird. I could swear I built this.
Oh, huh.
Interesting. So it could be a future.
He's also in the
future,
right?
Yeah.
The future of superheroes. What a great title. Keep working that. All right. I mean, man, this show is incredible.
It's really good.
And I don't know what's happening, and I don't care.
So my question, though, is to Paul.
Okay.
You have a show like this, and then you have a show like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sure.
Why do you keep watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? There's plenty of shows of this caliber out there.
And you're right. And there are shows like, for example, Arrow, where I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm walking away from this.
Yeah.
Or shows like Gotham, where I was like, you know what? I like Batman. I'm not that interested in Batman as a little kid. So I'm just not going to buy. I watched the first episode and I was like, nope. So you're right. Why do I make the choice to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And for me, it is the characters. I enjoy spending time with Fitz and Simmons and Mac making his movie references. Oh my God, he makes so many great movie references to all the AI deadly robot movies during the LMD season. And in fact, that's a great example is when they do the Agents of Hydra and like they meet up with Agent Tripp again, right? And it's like, oh, it's like this old friend. So but I enjoy the characters.
But you don't regard Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as like a guilty pleasure, do you?
No, I don't. Like I don't watch it ironically.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I recognize that it has a lot of flaws, fair. And I understand people who don't watch it. Right? If somebody was like, "Oh, I hate Legion. It's the worst. I don't get it," I'd be like, "Then I don't care if you want to watch it or not, and I don't need to talk to you about it
because you walk into traffic
because you don't get it."
Yeah.
Right? The fact that you don't get it is what makes it great. And yeah. And but you do get it. Like when you rewatch season one, you're like, okay, there's still some stuff that's very unclear, but there's this through line that I can piece together now.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping I'll do that with the season two at the end.
I don't know why I'm still watching it.
You're a sadist.
I've bailed on better shows.
Yeah.
You know, like I've got what is it? I stopped watching Masters of Sex. Yeah. I stopped watching
I haven't caught up on season Americans.
One, and then I stopped like, watching You're the Worst.
Americans is still good.
I know. I you know what it was? It was – I mean that's a whole other issue, but like I've bailed on better shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me – and this is such a weird rationale, but like I don't have a lot of like silly shows like this that I can watch without my wife.
Yeah.
And she so rarely wants to watch something like this.
Yeah.
Like, she wants to watch her stuff, and I just don't have a lot of things that are just mine.
Yeah.
Okay. And I need more.
Yeah, I've got shows like that where it shows that I watch – I mean, it's – my wife doesn't watch much TV at all, so it's whatever it is stuff I watch. But there's stuff I want to watch when I'm focused and paying attention, and there's stuff I want to watch when I'm, like, working on the newsletter for the store or doing some other stuff. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fits that category.
Yes.
But I've got, like, 30 other shows that fit that category.
See,
first.
Then I need some good recommendations.
I'll give you a list of background viewing.
But here's
you should listen to this podcast.
I'm kidding.
Well, but here's the other problem with that, too, is that, you know, I need something that is not just background viewing, but something that's just kind of easy.
Yeah.
And all of the really good stuff out there, I feel like, requires all of your attention.
Yeah.
And it – and if it's good, my wife wants to watch it.
Yeah.
And then I can't move on without her.
I have the same issue. There are certain shows – I watch these with my wife, and those are the ones that I have – like I'm gated on, right? But then there's other shows like Legion where I have to give this all my attention or I get lost.
Right.
Right? I really need to pay attention to this one. With Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, I can paint minis while I watch that. Because I wasn't nerdy enough watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm going to paint some miniatures for a Dungeons & Dragons game at the same time.
All right, well, let's talk about our last show for a little bit here. Krypton, over on Sci-Fi,
yep.
Who's now getting their own little DC show. Mm-hmm. This is the first season, brand new show, and I'm not sure if this is tying in to any of the other DC shows on television right now, but
it's not.
Okay, I think it's probably better for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so this first season, or the first episode, it's taking place a couple generations before Kal-El exists. This is in his grandfather's era, when his grandfather is a 23-year-old strapping young sex icon. Uh-huh.
Yep.
And
a bad boy.
He's a bad boy.
Streets of Krypton.
The bad boy of Krypton.
Yeah, he starts out like Chris Pine in Star Trek, just getting in beer brawl or bar brawls.
If Chris Pine had no charisma.
Wow. You're not wrong. But I thought there were some interesting things going on mm-hmm. in this pilot. I didn't like it initially, but I think the more it went on, I thought it had actually a pretty strong finish.
I can't hate it because I was too bored to hate it.
Oh, it was terrible in the beginning.
I gave zero fucks about this show, and I would not have watched it if we weren't going to talk about it tonight on this podcast. Yeah, I watched it because I knew I was going to have to talk about it.
Me too. I didn't hate it. Again, I applaud it for being ambitious because that is a very ambitious show.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's also a good lesson to like – hey, S.H.I.E.L.D., you want to do an episode in space or you want to, like, create your own world to, like, do a thing? Like, look at this show.
Yeah.
This, you really feel like you are on this other planet that has its own ancient culture and all this stuff. And,
but even then, the dialogue, like the dialogue and the like the bar looks like any other bar. Like you put a few rocks in there, it doesn't make it space.
Right. it didn't feel like any version of Krypton we've seen anywhere else. Right.
But look at the spaceships they put in there. One spaceship looked better than anything Shield's done.
The little skimmer his mom used to rescue. Like that was a great special effect.
Yeah. When they shoot across and they go to the Fortress of Solitude. I thought all of that was pretty impressive. Like, as the show built up, and once, like, Adam Strange came in, and
I hated their Adam Strange.
Yeah. Too. I didn't like the dude himself, but I liked kind of the plot point of, like, oh, we're going to tether you to the current, like, version of Superman that, like, most of the audience already is familiar with and show why you're relevant, because somehow you're going to have to, in a way, save your grandson. Right. I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting.
Here's my so I hated Adam Strange.
Yeah.
Like, he was literally and physically – he was physically out of place on that show. But he came along right at the right time because I caught myself saying – who gives a shit?
It was exactly at the halfway point.
It really was.
When his girlfriend rescues him, and I was like, I don't care about any of this show. No. Why is this happening?
I was like, who cares? And then he showed up, and he's like, okay, there's another. And I was like, oh, yeah, still don't care.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like they took one of the most beloved comics, beloved, you know, superheroes of all time, Superman.
Yeah.
The gold standard of superheroes, Superman. And they said, everything about him that is interesting that we care about is gone.
Yeah.
And now everybody is just on this other planet. Like, has it is such a tangential relationship to
it's
Superman.
A doomed planet
But here's the thing. If because I 100% agree. But if you look at it, forget about Superman. Forget about Adam Strange showing up. Mm-hmm. If you look at it and it's a show about a guy whose family used to have a name and then they lost their name because their grandfather was transgressive against the government.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're living in poverty as a result. And while they're living in poverty, he's sleeping with somebody who has a name. But then through reasons that you see in the show, he's now going to get a name and he's betrothed to some other important person. Well, but he's a political
pawn. It's all Shakespearean almost.
I mean, it is.
There's this backdrop of the religious religious leadership has taken over from what was a science-based. There's all this interesting stuff. None of it's presented in an interesting way.
Right. I'm with you. That was the best part of the show is that because he's saying that we are not alone in the universe, it's blasphemy, and that he's stripped of his name and everything. Like, I was like, oh, that's been pretty cool.
There is so much potentially interesting about this show. There's nothing actually interesting about this show.
I'm trying to remember there was a novel, there was like a book on tape that I listened to that was –
was it Dianetics?
It was not Dianetics. It was a show about Krypton. It might have been Dianetics.
It might have been Dianetics.
It was like the last days of Krypton or something like that. I don't even remember how I got it, or like somebody said, hey,
was it given to you by time traveler or doctor's cap? Did you have to hold two metal rods?
It was on a crystal that came from my grandson. But what I found interesting about it that I had never read in any of the comics, it probably wasn't the comics, I just hadn't read it, was this idea of Krypton having been cut off from the rest of the universe and Jor-El saying, we need to go out into space and there's stuff out there and we need to go. And everyone else was like, no, F you. And he's like, but the planet's going to blow up. And there are a lot of elements of that in this show.
The thing that drives me crazy is the notion of religion taking precedence and the people ignoring people who are telling them in science that the planet is going to destroy, going to be destroyed, and they need to listen, has so much potential resonance, and then do shit with it.
Well, but here's the problem.
Oh, really? Because I got the parallel.
I was going to say it's so unrealistic. I can't believe a world where that could happen.
Well, but here's the problem with that, and this is kind of an issue I've had with TV for a long time: is that the way TV shows are sold is very different from what actually makes a good TV show.
Yeah.
And that's the premise.
Yeah.
You sell a TV show on its premise. Yeah. And that's how you get people to tune in the first place.
Yep.
You're like, here is a story about what life was like on Krypton before they even shot, you know, Kal-El into space.
Yeah.
Like, this is, you know, 100 years or 500 years before that or however long it was.
Right.
Like, you know, this is – we're going to really dive into what that culture was like and what this society was like and all this stuff. It's like, wow, that's really cool. Okay, let's make that show. And then you've got nothing to say about it.
Yeah. Right?
When the truth is, to make a good show, you don't really need much more than just, like, good characters that are trying to accomplish some goal.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be any place.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing that's wrong with S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, what's hurting S.H.I.E.L.D. now is its premise.
Yeah.
That it is now tethered to the MCU. And if it wasn't, you could do anything. Yeah. You could have an awesome show about people who, like, are the cops for superheroes or, well, you know.
But you still wouldn't have a budget.
but it wouldn't matter because then you could, like.
No, that totally matters.
That is Krypton's biggest failing, though, is if you take all the superhero elements out, you take all the Superman elements out, and it is just a sci-fi show, then compare it to Star Trek Discovery, compare it to Babylon 5, for God's sake, which is 25 years old, and it still doesn't hold up.
Yes.
And that's the problem, is you got to not just to be like, you don't have to do well with the Superman legacy. Gotham is bonkers. But it does what it does well enough that you can watch it because you're comparing it to other bonkers shows. This you're comparing to – if you're not comparing it to other superhero shows, you don't care about the Superman stuff, it's got to hold up better than other sci-fi shows.
Yes,
and
agreed.
It doesn't do that.
Yeah, right. It should just – it's just a sci-fi show.
It doesn't even – like The Expanse.
Yeah, The Expanse.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
And it doesn't touch it.
I'll say this for it. It is better than The Inhumans. Which is not getting a second season.
If it gets a second season, Randy, you have to review episode by episode.
God damn it.
You made us a promise.
I did.
I'm going to say this. Even I didn't finish The Inhumans.
I didn't finish the first episode of The Inhumans.
Oof. I mean, no. Can I get into one of my favorite things about The Inhumans?
Please, tell me.
Yes.
Karnak. Yeah. The guy whose power is to see the flaw in anything. He can shatter a diamond by punching it in just the right spot.
And he never looked at the pilot for this show.
Oh, man. He didn't read the script.
If only Karnak had read the script.
Now I don't even want to say what I was going to say. What I was going to say is he loses his powers because he falls and hits his head. How did he fall and hit his head? He stepped on a loose rock climbing down a cliff. The guy who could see the flaw in anything stepped on a loose rock.
I'm sorry, Paul. I'm an idiot. Yeah.
Can you edit this out? Because I don't. There's no point.
Now it's time for what Randy likes to call
the dessert segment.
It is the dessert segment. Mm. It's delicious whipped topping. I got nowhere to go with that.
After our reverse bizarro shit sandwich.
You eat whipped topping for dessert?
Look, I grew up in the Depression, okay? And, I'm sorry. I grew up with Depression.
Sorry. Oh, you had whipped topping.
Well, we're going to do some listener questions. If you guys like us on Facebook, you guys can go to our page and ask us once a week whatever you guys want. First question comes to us from our buddy Alec Miracle, who says, no spoilers for Sons of Anarchy, which is already a funny way to start this question.
I just want to stop. Is Alan Miracle related to Mr. Miracle?
Yeah.
I mean, technically he is Mr. Miracle.
He is Mr. Miracle, yes.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Miracle. Yeah.
I guess,
Mr.
but his name's not Free. So if he was Scott Free, then he's like Joe Free.
He's Mr. Miracle Jr., first to go by. Says he's only on season 2 of Sons of Anarchy and doesn't binge, which I would just like to go ahead and say, you should stop now. The show's not going to get
any
better. That's
what I was waiting for. Yes, what the impression was, and I knew it'd get Grant.
Man, I love that first season so much. I went through like 7 more terrible seasons of that show. Anyway.
Spoilers, it gets terrible.
What are your guys' spoiler-free thoughts on the show? Oh, okay. So yeah, does want me to speak on it.
Tell him you have to go back.
The first season really starts like Hamlet, and it's pretty like well crafted to to be able to have this motorcycle gang with this tragic past and what you can see is this tragic future just already foretold with the characters and how all the cast play that, it's pretty brilliant. But then the show becomes almost a parody of itself.
Hamlet Part 8, The Revenge.
Yeah. It's just, man, this is the show I hate watched for the last four seasons of the show.
Well,
I
when you really get into season 7 and they go into space, the sets look so terrible.
But the characters are great, right? That's what you're saying.
Space motorcycles.
I've never watched it.
I'm just saying, Alec, just bail right now. You don't need to do it.
Wait, should I watch season 1?
Man. I don't know. That's tough, right? Because
like, there's no ending.
I don't want you to keep going from season 1.
I wouldn't. But should I watch season 1?
I thought this first season was actually really good. Did you like it?
I've never seen an episode of Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, really?
Nor have I.
Caveat, by the way, Paul watches and enjoys Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, yes, go ahead.
I would watch Roseanne. I mean, whatever. Fuck it.
My only hot take on Sons of Anarchy is it always looked like a show that probably should have nudity, but it doesn't because it was on FX.
Yeah. That's very accurate. Next question comes to us from Kyle Volte, who says, okay, TV dudes and honored guests.
Ooh, honored.
Ooh, he spoke guests. Too soon. Get out of here. Seeing as we have guests with us, what are some of your most memorable guest starring roles in favorite TV shows?
I really liked it when Lance showed up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It does say, and Paul, can you just please tie it to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
So actually, I have an example from a very recent show. If anybody's watching The Looming Tower.
Yeah. Oh, man. Uh-huh. It's great. Right.
I'm behind, but
so
I love it.
So good.
Yeah.
So Alec Baldwin is in it as the head of, I guess, CIA?
Yeah. Does he say Patriot Act?
So he is playing it almost like Jack Donaghy. And in this week's season, he is in a meeting with Condoleezza Rice, who, if you watch 30 Rock, Jack Donaghy dated her. Oh my God. But it's like, if you don't look at the TV and you just listen, it's like Jack Donaghy is actually at the White House having a meeting with his girlfriend, Condoleezza Rice.
And, oh, she's a member of Black Crusaders.
So it feels like a guest appearance from Jack Donaghy on The Looming Tower, which is such a serious show. It's kind of brilliant.
I'd say some of my favorite that whole run of guest stars they had of the people who were going to replace Michael Scott on The Office.
Oh man, yeah.
Every guest star they had for that job was amazing.
Yeah.
So when Jim Carrey was
necessarily on board with that, I feel like I hated half of them.
You hated Will Ferrell as
Will Ferrell in
DeAndre,
particular.
What's his name?
I didn't like Will Ferrell. I didn't like Idris Elba when he was on there.
Idris Elba was weirdly out of his depth.
That was a rough one. But you know, he was there as like somebody who wasn't any fun.
Yeah.
That was it.
That's the joke.
But Robert California.
Mm. Oh yeah, James Spader.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Okay.
And like Jim Carrey had a funny take on it, and
the British lady Catherine from Doctor Who.
Yep.
Her.
Yeah. Yeah. I go, and this is more of a recurring than a guest, I guess, but every time Craig Robinson shows up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I am delighted.
Yes.
What's his character's name? Is it? Oh man, I'm blanking on it now. But he's the guy who's like he's in love with Rosa. He and Jake have like this huge buddy relationship, but he keeps screwing Jake over. Like I love that character. He's the Pontiac Bandit.
His name's Doug Judy.
Doug Judy, the Pontiac Bandit. Every time he shows up, the latest one, he showed up in a hostage situation. He had taken hostages. Oh man. It's so good. And every time, you know he's going to screw over Jake, and every time he does, and it's still funny.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I want to go with Barry on Archer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Barry the Bionic Man.
Poor
super
Barry.
Villain.
He's got such a tragic story.
He really does.
Like, I often am like, okay, Barry's the villain on that show, but aren't they really the villains?
They're so the villains. They're so terrible.
But as long as we're talking guest stars, Burt Reynolds on Archer was phenomenal.
Oh, my God, yes. As was Kenny Loggins.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump to the next question. This comes to us from Jonathan Huffnagel, who says, dear TV dudes, what are your thoughts on the return of A Series of Unfortunate Events? Well, let me ask you guys real quick. Is anyone watching that?
We're going to. It's not on the schedule for another few weeks.
I am not.
No?
I watched... I feel like I watched... Did it just... Oh, was there was already one season, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I watched the first episode of the first season. And I will say, I'm sad that Stephen Bochco died because he did bring us Doogie Howser, which means he did bring us Neil Patrick Harris, and Neil Patrick Harris is a national treasure.
That's true.
Agreed.
So I can't be unhappy watching NPH, but I don't have any connection to the series of unfortunate events.
It's like this beautiful, whimsical show that feels almost like Brian Fuller, but there's some of that charm of Fuller missing from it that I really liked it. Grab onto it.
I'm excited for season two, and I hear that Patrick Warburton and Nathan Fillion play brothers in it.
Oh, all right. I might be on board just for that.
So it's on the schedule. We will be discussing it in a few weeks, or at least me and maybe Les will. Grant may not watch it.
All right. Well, here's another question that ties pretty well into what we were just discussing. Alex Mitchell says, with the success of Legion on FX, what are some other superhero or comic book characters that could be given similar prestige or artistic treatment in the
show?
That's
a good question. Because you go like B or C list, right? You go sort of out there a little bit.
I've been thinking about this, so I had a couple of them. One, it would be Spider Jerusalem. I would love to see if it was done right, obviously.
Just Transmet?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, Transmetropolitan would make an awesome show, but man, you'd have to have an enormous budget.
Yeah.
You'd have to have the perfect star, and I don't know who that is.
Yeah, the star's got to be great. Yeah.
You don't have to have an enormous budget nowadays for that. I think
it's weird, man. Yeah. There's all kinds of effect stuff in that show.
You'd need great makeup. You'd need great makeup people.
But I also thought Ecstatics.
Oh, yeah.
Would be really fun.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I would like to see, and it kind of feels tied to Legion because of the multiple personality. I'd like to see Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm. I don't – Netflix had – there was rumors Netflix was going to do it. I don't want them to do a boring Moon Knight. I want an out-there, crazy Legion-style Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Because
the
original stuff by Doug Mensch and Bill Sienkiewicz was crazy out there, and spiritually it fits with Legion.
Is he really connected to an Egyptian god?
Is he just nuts?
Is he just
– Did he really die, or was he just unconscious? Yeah.
He's got three different personalities, as a Batman kind of superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exiles would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I always liked the episodic nature of Exiles, how there are these different X-Men or, you know, characters from that X-Men universe all trapped in this Prismo cube outside of time to reference Adventure Time. And they're jumping in Quantum Leap style to just kind of like solve crimes.
Different universes of X-Men realities.
If they did Exiles on TV, I want them to do sort of Legion style sort of weirdness.
Yeah.
But I think what I really want is someone who could bring that Thor Ragnarok Taika Waititi style to it. It's got to be a little technicolor, weird,
mm-hmm. yes.
embracing the goofiness of it. Like, that's what I want.
I want Mimic and Morph and Blink and just doing whatever.
Yeah. And they're just going into a different crazy version of X-Men storyline every episode. And you can just be like, what's the craziest, wackiest X-Men stuff? You want Shi'ar and Starjammers? That's what we're doing this week.
Yeah. But you know what? If you had asked me that question 5 years ago, like half the things I would have listed, more than half, have already been made.
Yeah, that's what's amazing.
I would have said Alias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would have said Preacher. Even though I feel like they kind of screwed up Preacher.
They're doing Watchmen right now.
They're doing
HBO.
Watchmen.
Damon Lindelof is doing Watchmen.
My boyfriend, guys.
Wow.
Okay, don't say anything bad about him because seriously, like one day he and I are going to get married.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I know. I've seen the letters.
But don't worry.
And the
restraining
order.
It'll be a twist.
They've been married all along.
They've been married the whole time. but I'd say last but not least, there's... Invisibles, just because it's one of my favorites.
Sure, yeah.
Invisibles would be really cool, but again, it'd have to be like weird.
It would have to be like Legion.
That
weird.
I feel like is more like Legion.
Yeah,
where it's just like really trippy and
yeah.
Invincible or Invisibles?
Invisibles.
I don't know what that one is.
Ooh, it's good.
It's a crazy conspiracy mindfuck shit.
Man, they're doing Runaways, and the first half of that season was great.
Ooh. I thought the second half was pretty good.
Second half was so garbage.
It's
also
slow.
Doom Patrol.
Yeah, Doom Patrol.
It just fell up. Like they were taking too long. They were doling it out, and they really wanted the parents to be a part of the thing.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, run away already. You're called Runaways. Run the fuck away.
But not before you have the cheesiest battle in front of that giant. Whatever. The
You
know what? So fucking dumb.
They're doing Cloak and Dagger, and it's going to be boring and bad because it's like on ABC Family or something.
Freeform.
It's going to be bad.
And but if you did Cloak and Dagger in that sort of Legion style where it was about like gritty 80s runaway drugs
I'm going to stop you right
like,
there and say if you did anything in Legion style, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It'd be great.
That's the template.
Well, see, to me, Legion style means that it's not afraid to get like psychedelical.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just unconventional and mature and
right,
like,
and weird, like
complex
man thing.
That can be, oh boy, that'd be cool. Man thing would be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like all the weird psychedelic stuff that was being written in the 60s and 70s, like that can be made Legion style today if you could find a home for it.
Anything Jim Starlin wrote, anything Steve Gerber wrote, bring all those things in.
I'd like to see the Meta Barons.
Oh, yeah.
Alejandro Jodorowsky's Meta Barons. Oof. Yep. That would be amazing.
That would require
sci-fi.
A huge budget.
Oh, yeah, huge budget.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen would work as great as a TV show.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's totally
that
true.
That would be a great show.
That would be an awesome TV show.
What about the League of Extremely...
Ordinary Gentlemen?
Ordinary Gentlemen. I couldn't even remember the name of it. Like,
what was
the podcast we did?
What was that podcast we did for several years?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. One last question, guys. This comes to us from Jonathan Haptemichael, who says, "Hi, dudes. With Crazy Ex-Girlfriend renewed for one final season... what overlooked character do you want to have a musical number before the show ends?" And I'm actually going to take this question and extend this. I'm going to say, what character from any TV show that you guys watch would you like to have a musical number from all of
a fantastic question.
what? Pick a favorite show.
Pick a favorite show, and what would their musical number?
All of a sudden, there's a musical number.
I don't have an answer yet. I have to think of it. But I will say, as much as I frequently dislike many things about Flash and Supergirl, even though I also love them or want to love them, the musical Flash and Supergirl, or Barry Allen and Kara singing.
Yeah, that was really good.
That was really great.
Well, they both came out of Glee. Like, they made sense.
Yeah.
I would like, and this is just the top of my head, I would like a musical number that is the entire ensemble of You're the Worst. But I want it to be like Rent, where it's like about how awful everything is.
I would like to take the newest season that's supposedly filming right now of Arrested Development.
Make it a musical?
No, I want the whole thing to be a musical.
No, the whole season.
But I want Jessica Walters and Tony Hale to do a Mother Boy,
Mother Boy.
Sort of musical number that they actually have to do in full.
Yes.
I need this.
I'd like to see a rap battle on Counterpart.
Oh my God! Between him and himself.
Between him and himself.
Oh, can the other J.K. Simmons do anything like that? Can he rap?
I don't think either J.K. Simmons can rap.
I bet J.K. Simmons can.
But
rap.
I bet you J.K. Simmons can. I don't think either one of the characters, characters can do.
That's true.
But then we saw Peter Dinklage all of a sudden.
That's true.
Rapping those Dorito commercials.
Yeah.
Which Game of Thrones character should have a musical number?
Ooh,
Ramsay Bolton, his dogs.
The guy with the big red beard.
Oh,
what's his name?
Tormund Giantsbane.
Yeah, Tormund Giantsbane.
I want him to do a ballad about how much he loves Brienne.
Yes.
And there should be like, she should be like a floating misty head 80s style behind him when he sings it.
I feel like Barry's and his little birds could do something. He's singing his little birds just
that's
come
actually the name of, well, that's the name of their group.
I was going to say Buffy or Grey's Anatomy or Mystery Science Theater or Bob's Burgers or several others, but they already did.
Already covered.
You know, who hasn't done a musical episode, but you would think they would have, is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They really need one, guys. All right. Well, EJ, I hope you got your money's worth here for this episode. Mixed bag on the reception of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I'm pretty sure you expected that anyway.
I'm pretty sure it's not mixed. I'm pretty sure you all think it sucks, and I think it's okay.
Mix was being generous, yes. I feel like once 75% hates it,
it's still
mixed.
Everybody doesn't hate it as much as I do.
Right.
It's a bad egg. All right, we're going to go ahead and end things there, though, but we want to thank you guys for coming by and joining us this week. Paul Benjamin, Joe Parsons, thank you guys so much.
My pleasure.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
And where can people find you guys?
No, what's your address?
We have stalkers who get a little bit weird.
So you want to take a left off of...
What? Then they also want to know, what lotion do you use? No, like on Twitter, Facebook, or your website?
I occasionally tweet. I am at the Paul Benjamin.
All right. So go check him out there. What about you, Joe?
You can all fuck right off.
Okay.
And no, but Master Pancake Theater does shows every Friday and Saturday at the Alamo Draft House.
Yeah, come by. It's a
and
lot
it's
of fun.
Fantastic.
Is oh, that you can you. All fuck right off .com or .net?
Oh, you guys couldn't even get a .com.
Yeah, sorry.
Biz. They got a dot fuck. It's FUQ.
It's new.
Nice. All right, guys, we're gonna wrap things up there. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will be back next week to talk. What are we talking about? Just more garbage shows, I'm sure.
I haven't looked. I don't know.
All right. Until then,
TV Dudes out.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter at TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.